I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. One fall Saturday morning, I was on my way to a football game with a good friend of mine. We all love football game days, don't we? Whether it's high school or college. The smell of grilled meats in the air as you pass through a sea of tailgaters. The buzz of excitement from the hope of victory in the upcoming game. Music of one kind or another is always within earshot. And game days are also some of the best people watching you can find anywhere. But there are some folks that I always hope to avoid, if possible, on game days. And one of them is Bullhorn Guy. I heard him from around the corner. As my friend and I got closer and closer, we could hear him getting louder and louder, and it was soon very apparent what was going on and who it was that was making so much noise. Repent! Repent and turn to the Lord! As we began to approach, we could hear the low rumble of the crowd just below him, and the voice yet again yelling, "Unless you want to burn in the unquenchable fires of hell, repent and turn to the Lord." He was standing on a step stool, and his voice was amplified and a bit distorted through the speaker of a bullhorn. For whatever reason, without even thinking, my friend and I stopped in our tracks and gave Bullhorn Guy our full attention. Chances are you've probably run into Bullhorn Guy or someone like him at least once somewhere on a street corner or in a park somewhere in some public place where there's a lot of foot traffic. He's standing there on his stool with a bullhorn in one hand and a well-worn copy of his Bible in the other. Now, amongst all the people in the crowd that day, there were two people who were feeling very spirited and who were yelling back at Bullhorn Guy, trying to be louder than him, as if they could change Bullhorn Guy's mind and help him see that he's wrong about his message of hell and condemnation. But the thing about it is that you are never, ever, ever going to change Bullhorn Guy's mind. That's when he started pointing at people and telling them all about their own sins based on how they looked, what they were wearing, and what they yelled back at him. Bullhorn Guy was relentless in his attempt to convert and show people the catastrophic errors of their ways. And when Bullhorn Guy started name-calling and hurling insults at people was when my friend and I decided that we had seen and heard enough. And so we decided to carry on our way and keep walking, leaving Bullhorn Guy to his hopeful converts and insults in the name of repentance. It's difficult for us to talk about and think about because it can give us an uneasy feeling. You know the feeling I'm talking about. For me, I get it when I think about the things for which I should or could repent. But oftentimes many of us, myself included, find ourselves wishing we could just skip over the whole repentance thing during Lent and go straight on to Easter, right? But the truth is, we need Lent. We need this time of repentance. We need repentance in general. We need that time, that space, to turn back to God. Now, the first half of today's readings don't really make it that much easier to talk about repentance. We hear about some pretty terrible things that have happened. A freak accident in Siloam, and some Galileans that Pilate had killed. But Jesus spends his words not on those terrible things that happened, but on the need for repentance. So where does that leave us? Is Jesus' reaction to these terrible things cold and dismissive? Maybe a little bit at first, but I think it's important for us to understand a little bit more about what repentance actually is. I think in general we all tend to fall back on Bullhorn Guy's definition of repentance. Repent or burn, you know, it's something that we have to do in order to save ourselves. But y'all, that's a scary, scary way to look at repentance. That's why we can have such a hard time with the idea of repentance. That idea of repentance leaves us scared and can make us feel as though there is no possible way to live up to what God wants from us. That's why so many people are turned off by the very idea of repentance and by the idea that they have a place with God. Repentance is important. In fact, it's more than important. It's essential to who we are as Christians. When we repent, we are proclaiming that we need God. We are remembering that it is impossible to live into who God calls us to be if we try to do it on our own and without God. When we forget thy will be done and make it about my will be done, we find ourselves in a world of hurt. The truth is, we hurt one another. We hurt ourselves. We do wrong to people. We take advantage of others and we don't live up to expectations. We fall short. But when we turn back to our Lord and acknowledge that we cannot go through it all alone, when we turn our hearts and our souls to our Father in heaven and say, God, please forgive me, that's when we can begin to be whole again. Repentance is one side of the coin, with the other side being wholeness with God. But again, it's more than just about having a little check-in time with God, saying, hey God, we good? And then going on about our day. It's more than about that. When we repent, it's a conversion of our hearts. It's a conversion of our souls. It's a conversion of our entire being. And the hope of the coming of God's kingdom. It's giving our trees another chance to grow and produce fruit for the work of God in the world. Just like we've seen in Jesus' parable in our gospel lesson. We all need to be brought back to the source of all life and goodness more often than not. We all go astray and we all fall short. Sometimes it seems like it's just a lapse or a bad day, but sometimes it can be a bad week, bad month, bad year. We can experience long and excruciating periods of feeling isolated and feeling hurt. But through God in Christ, we live in the hope of the kingdom. That hope which gives us a chance to allow our trees to bear fruit, even in a period of barrenness. Lent is a perfect season to recognize within ourselves the need for repentance and to practice repentance. It's also the perfect season to look within ourselves and say, God, let not my will be done, but let your will be done. My friends, as we approach, when we approach repentance in that way and not the way Bullhorn Guy would have us repent, and our lives will be enriched in the grace of God. God will fill us with good things and give us that which we need to bear fruit and live in wholeness with Him. In that wholeness with God and God's love, the kingdom isn't just an idea, but a way of life and something we all play a part of bringing into realization. When we turn back to God, no matter where we are or where we've been, that wholeness that we find in God is transforming. It transforms us and it allows us to go out those doors and help us and help others find that same wholeness. Because when we find that wholeness, when we remember that it is God who gives us life beyond anything that this world can offer, how could we not share that love? How could we not want to help others find that same wholeness? That's the good news that we hear today. That when things are going terribly wrong in this world and when we are down and see no way out, or when we hurt others, we have a God who calls us back to Himself. No matter what, God calls us back to wholeness in His self and wholeness in His love. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.